Hi, and welcome to the second module of The Creative Brief. I'm Hannah Fitz, brand strategist and business coach at hannahfitz.com. In this module, we speak about your brand personality, or what can also be called as your brand identity. Now, as with human beings, I feel that brands should have a personality, something that is distinct and unique to that brand. We connect with personalities. We might meet someone. Have you ever met someone and you just thought, wow, this person's personality is dynamic. I love it. I want to be around it. You just love the whole energy of the person and you want more of it. You like to be around it. It's great. It makes you feel good. On the other hand, there are some personalities that may not give you the same feeling. You might feel quite the opposite. It's the same in brands. When you select a particular designer or clothing line that you like, it's because the personality and aspects of that brand, the whole vibe, you resonate with it. And, you know, it's really key that we take the time before we actually create the image of the brand, that we develop the personality of your brand so that every image is in resonance with that personality. So let's dive in into the course and let's get started on building your iconic brand personality. If you're in a service-based business, especially if it's very high touch and you're the one in contact with your clients, then ultimately your brand is going to take on your personality. Now, this can happen in almost any industry, from fashion to the airline industry, even to companies who produce food items. You know, if we look at a company like the Virgin Group, Virgin is the reflection of its founder's personality, Sir Richard Branson. It reflects his love for adventure and his slightly edgy side. Everything of the Virgin brand reflects Sir Richard Branson's personality. Now, what happens then if the brand wants to create something that may not really be part of their personality, but reflect the type of client that they're trying to appeal to, that you're trying to create certain products and services that capture the needs of a certain audience? Now, the fashion industry have done this and many industries have adopted it. And I would really suggest that you use that method. I found it particularly useful in creating my own brand, and that's creating using a muse. Now, muses are independent sources of creativity that allows all types of artists to direct their vision. Now, you might say, hold on, wait a minute, I'm not an artist. I've heard about muses and it's really used in the art world. But if you're creating a brand, a business, you have to become the artist that paints the picture and personality of that brand. And it's very essential that you do that so that your audience have something to connect with. That's why I emphasize that, you know, a lot of people think, oh, I'm just going to take some photos and I'm just going to select some colors and that's going to be my brand image. You really have to go deep, especially when you're running an online business and the first connection a person will make is perhaps not with you, but with the various touch points, your website, your social media. So again, think about having a muse for your brand so that you can derive some elements of inspiration that will really drive the creative vision of how your brand develops. Now, a lot of companies have had several muses over the years. For instance, we take Hubert Givenchy, and he had his muse Audrey Hepburn for several years. In fact, at one time, he developed entire collections with Audrey Hepburn in mind. Now, no doubt, women who resonated and aspired to her international iconic style were drawn to the brand. He used her as a source of inspiration. It wasn't to copy her or directly create, you know, something that was exactly her, but to draw elements of her personality and her aesthetic into whatever he created. And this can be very useful for your own brand. So in your workbook, you will see that I have suggested that you make a list of at least three companies or brands that inspire the personality of your brand. You know, how do you want your brand to be? Do you want it to be rock and roll? Do you want it to be fierce and daring? Do you want it to be feminine and elegant? Do you want it to be sporty? Really zero in on the type of personality and attributes that you want for your brand. This is so important, because once you care about that, you can then take beautiful, stunning photos, create excellent copy that is in alignment with that brand personality. Again, I want you to pay attention to things like emotions. You know, what type of emotions do you want people to really feel connected to when they come in contact with your brand? Every brand sends off a different vibe, as we would like to call it. You know, it sends off a different feeling. When you encounter certain brands, I'm sure there's a certain brand you will wear, and when you just put on the clothing, you feel a certain way. You automatically step into maybe a power mode. Like, if you put on a great suit, a well-tailored suit, I'm sure you feel a lot more powerful and a lot more authoritative compared to if a woman puts on a very clingy, beautiful gown, she'll feel automatically more feminine and more elegant. So what type of mood are you going for with your brand? And it really doesn't matter what industry you're in, you have to be able to tap into some kind of mood, because people connect with energy, they connect with a vibe, they connect with a mood, they connect with different emotions. And these emotions are signalized through different things in your brand, like your colors and stuff that we will work on later in this course. So take the time to make a list of at least 1 to 3 companies that really embody the emotions and personality that you'd like to use as inspiration for your own brand, and just see what about that company really makes you connect with it and how you would like your audience to connect with you as a brand as well. This is going to really help you in having a clear direction for your brand. Musing is such a great way of drawing inspiration and zeroing in on the exact attributes that you're trying to develop for your brand. And of course, you're going to put your own unique spin to it. So don't worry about being a copycat. This is just for inspiration, and you're going to infuse your own self into it. So inevitably, it's going to be different. So once you've done that, it's time to create what I like to call the filtration system of your brand. Yes, filtering. It's your core values. It's a core part of your brand DNA and the beacon for your brand, which will guide your actions and how your brand interacts with its audience and its stakeholders. You know, I like to think about the core values as your guiding light. It really tells you, for instance, someone asks you to collaborate with them, it gives you a measuring stick to see whether this collaboration is right for your brand or not. Believe it or not, every collaboration is shaping your brand, the perception of your brand image. And so you really want to have those core values established, not just only to filter out things, but to give you something to live by, a standard. An internal standard for your organization of things that you stand by and that you represent. You really want to have a clear understanding of what that is. Now, I do encourage you that when you're selecting your core values, that you actually select things that you know you can commit to and that long-term you can live by as a brand. Ultimately, the goal of creating a brand, you need to live your brand. You need to always be on brand, right? So your clients will also choose companies that resonate with their own values. I'm sure you won't work with a company that you feel goes against the things that you stand for as a person, your own principles. And so you really want to create standards that both you and your customers appreciate, because at the end of the day, it's all about creating a tribe around your brand, a tribe of people whose ideals reflect the ideals of your company, and they feel your company represents their ideals as well. Again, when you have your core values sorted out, it helps you create a unique positioning for your brand. So believe it or not, your core values can actually be part of your unique positioning in the market. It also helps you set better priorities. You know, we can get so busy doing so many things. And so having the core values, you can set priorities and say, no, this is not on brand for me. This is on brand for me. And really sort out your time so that you're making maximum use of your time and energy in building your business. It also, as I said earlier, you can clearly identify collaborators, partners, opportunities for sponsorships, events that you want to be aligned with, speaking engagements. Okay, so it really is important that you establish this. And then your core values will also help you with imagery, because definitely you don't want to be putting images out there that are not on brand. So you really want to get clear on this. Some brands have between 3 to 12 different core values, but I'll go through the steps with you on how you actually create your own core values for your brand. So one of the first things that I want you to do is, in the workbook, you will have the opportunity to do this after you've listened to this recording. I have put in some samples of adjectives, right? And these adjectives are just suggestions. So I do recommend that you pick up a thesaurus and you go through some more words that you think are not in this list, because it's just some examples to really guide you, and find some others that you think resonates better with what you're trying to achieve. So you can start off with selecting at least 10 adjectives that you think represent your brand. So that could be anything from reputation, reliability, tolerance, punctuality, leadership, whatever you think your brand is going to stand for, select those 10 adjectives. Once you've done that, you're going to narrow it down to 5. Now, you can choose more, you can choose less, but I thought 5 was a really nice number. And you can then, because you don't want to have too many and you're having a hard time keeping up with all of the core values, right? So you want to find at least 3 to 5 that you feel like you can make a strong commitment to and live by day to day. So you choose 5 words, right? Once you've done that, I don't want you to stop there, because words need to be given meaning. For one brand, reliability can mean something completely different from another brand. And so you really want to define what each of these words mean for your brand. So for example, if your core value is optimistic, you might say something like, to provide the optimistic perspective on every issue to our customers so that they can live an inspired and better life. This is just an example, so you get the point, but you create a sentence and a statement that is aspirational and that is something you can live by. Once you've gone through that, it's now time to move on to the other element, reflection. So you've done your musing and you've identified the attributes of other brands that inspire you. Now it's time to define the reflections of your brand. Usually a brand's identity reflects the people it wants to serve. For example, Chanel reflects the modern, elegant woman. And this is evident in their commercials using the actress that reflects their ideals, Keira Knightley. So again, you want to say, what does your brand reflect? And this is going to play a powerful role in your logo design and also the images that you select for your brand. What are you trying to reflect through your brand image? Is it modern, feminine, sporty? What type of personality are you trying to reflect through your brand image? So again, you want to make a list of at least 3 to 5 attributes of your ideal customers that you want your brand to reflect. And, you know, it was very funny because I was at a cell phone company the other day and they were running some ads from Samsung. It was very interesting to watch those different commercials for the same product from Samsung. And what they did was what we did earlier in terms of the buyer personas. And each commercial represented the buyer persona. So I think there was one ad and there was Lil Wayne, who is a rap artist. And clearly through that, through the use of Lil Wayne, they're targeting the urban community, more a younger target audience. young people, perhaps African-American community in the United States. And then there was another commercial using a middle-aged actor in the age range of probably late 50s to 60s, well-dressed in a tuxedo. And of course, they're reflecting the persona of the businessman, perhaps an older audience, an older persona. And so, again, you can see clear segmentation and them speaking and reflecting the personality attributes of the different personas that they're targeting. So really tap into what do you want your brand to reflect and identify 3 to 5 attributes. Again, self-image is another area that you need to look at when defining the personality of your brand. And this is very important because when someone uses your product, you really need to understand your product or service or even your brand. What is this person trying to reflect? How is this person trying to be perceived, I should say, through the use of the brand? Who are they aspiring to be through the use of your brand? So again, we see this can be in any product. Maybe if someone is buying a product that is labeled organic, they're trying to reflect a healthy lifestyle. This is the self-image that they're trying to bring out when they buy the product labeled organic. They really want to be perceived as someone who eats healthy and someone who leads a healthy lifestyle. And so you really want to define what self-image does your target audience want to reflect. So with the reflection aspect, it looks at who do you want to be perceived at. But at the self-image aspect, you look at who does your ideal customer want to be when they use your brand. So I hope you see the clear distinction between the two, and it's very important that you clarify that, and all of this information, the forms are in the workbook for you to complete that exercise. The next aspect of your brand personality is your brand voice. Yes, your brand should have a voice. Your brand voice is not only important for communicating through social media, it is a great guide for the development of your brand image. Having a consistent and clear brand identity online will help your brand in successfully creating connections, persuading, and reaching into the emotions of your ideal client. It is not what you tell people or how you say it, but it's how you make people feel that is really what will set your brand apart. The images, style of writing, and the tone should be as much as possible reflective of the lifestyle and values of your ideal customer. Most brands use this to send the message that you are the one that this is for. The brand voice can be used as a guide for your photo shoot, website copy, and other promotional material. Remember that pictures are meant to tell a story. So in the absence of words, you do want your photos to speak to your ideal customer and say the things that you'd probably say in words. A great example of this, and I really love how they do commercials, is Michael Kors. They really use some of the aesthetics of luxury brands to reflect the ideals of their customers, the woman that they feel would be attracted to their brand. And a lot of their ads, if you've ever seen a Michael Kors commercial, and you can probably check on Google, you can see some images of their magazine ads. It really reflects the jet-setter stylish woman who loves to enjoy the finer things in life. This is the ideal of the Michael Kors customers. And you'll also see that the persons that they're using in their commercials are also often younger, between the ages of 20 to 30, reflecting their ideal customer. So again, it really has the tone, it has the emotion, it has the mood of the lifestyle that their customers are either living or aspire to live. This is why it's so important to spend some time clearly defining your brand voice so that you are speaking in a language and style that your ideal customers can relate to. You should also think about your relationship with your customer as similar to what draws best friends together. Yeah, I mean, when you meet with someone and you're drawn to their personality and you develop a close friendship with that person, sometimes you feel like you finish each other's words. You like the same things. At times you even dress the same way and you speak the same language. Maybe your values are aligned. You sort of like the same, you sort of stand for the same type of things and you can really relate to each other. So think about your brand and the way it's going to speak to its customer through images, through copy, as a best friend relationship. Think about it as speaking to someone that you know and you care about. You know, I'm always reminded of the words of David Ogilvy, who is the godfather of advertising and one of the greatest copywriters of all time, who said, "The customer is not a moron, she's your wife." Now, he said this to emphasize that when you speak to your customers, speak to your customer as if you're speaking to someone that you have a connection with, someone that you're friendly with, someone that's in the same way that you speak to family or friends. Treat the customer as if they're a friend or family or someone that you truly care about, not someone that you're dictating to or just having this cold, empty relationship. So again, you really want to look at the language that you're speaking to your customer with and the style. You want your brand voice to also consider, when developing your brand voice, to consider things like the tone of voice that you're using to communicate with your clients. When you're able to craft a unique tone of voice for your brand, without even seeing your logo, your customers will know that this is from you. If you can create a distinct voice and style, then you have really set your brand apart as more than a commodity, but as something distinct that your customers can identify with. So here are the steps to creating your all-important brand voice. You define your brand voice personality. So again, you want to give the personality attributes of your brand and really go through the process of focusing on creating an authentic personality, one that is true to what your brand stands for. You know, think about the words that you will use, or if you don't quite like the words that you're using right now, think about the words that are best to be used to target your ideal customers, the voice, the tone, the language that they can relate to. Again, you also want to think about that one word that describes your brand's personality. So you had your muses, you sorted out your attributes. You always want to think about that one word you want people to use when they think about your brand. Now, I remember the days of the Spice Girls. It was really in my teenage years, and they were one of the biggest girl bands on the planet. And what really stood out about their branding was that there was one adjective used to personify each girl. So there was Posh Spice, Sporty Spice, and a host of other names given to the five girls. Each girl represented a persona. Every young woman, almost every young girl who was a fan of the Spice Girl, probably had one Spice Girl that they felt they could identify with. And that was great branding, because you had five personalities which reflected five possible buyer personas out there. You had a great market. So you want to think of that one word, one adjective that you really want your brand to be known for. Is it excellence? Is it different? Is it elegance? You know, is it competence? Is it efficiency? What is the one word that you want your brand to be known for? A word that describes your brand's personality. Once you've done that, you can now define your tone. Now, I really love what Robert Frost says here. He says, "No tears in the writer, no tears in the reader." So tone is very important in branding. When every aspect of your brand needs to trigger a positive emotional experience and be memorable. While your brand personality and voice will remain consistent and constant, your brand tone may change depending on the situation or context. You know, the way that you speak on Facebook will be different from the way that you will speak at a seminar or maybe at a PR event. And even the way that the tone that you might use on Instagram will be different from the tone that you use on Facebook. So you really want to really define the parameters, like some broad parameters of what your brand tone will be like, what the flavor of your brand voice will be like. But this may change slightly depending on, you know, the forum that you're using your brand voice for at any given time. So I have some guidelines in the workbook on how you should do that, and you can go through it. Again, you want to look at things like personable. How do you want your brand to be? Casual, easygoing, friendly tone? Do you want it to be professional, advisory, educating, or coaching? Is your brand open or easygoing in terms of its approach? In terms of being confident, self-assured, competent, experienced? Do you want your brand to be sassy, fun-loving, happy, sophisticated, in the know, formal, traditional? Or is your brand romantic, loving, emotional, soothing, spiritual? Really think about the tone that you want for your brand and how you want to be perceived. And ultimately, of course, what tone is best for using your ideal customer? I mean, if you're in a business where you're targeting, say, teenagers, obviously the tone might not be what you as a person would normally use, but you'd have to adapt it to the tone that your target audience uses so that they can identify with it, right? The language that they're using, which is the next thing that we're talking about. Define your language. This is key to guiding how you write copy for your website and how you develop material, your blogging, and everything else that you will do going forward. Now, I put an example in the workbook in terms of the language that your brand uses. How does your brand say stunning? There are several ways that you can say stunning. The word stunning already has a different mood to it. It's a little bit more elegant in terms of its tone, right? When you use that language, stunning. As opposed to if you say something like dazzling, ravishing, it sounds different, you know? Refined, fabulous, foxy. These all carry different moods to it. So you really want to define what type of words, type of language that you're going to be using to support your brand voice. So go through that in the workbook, and I have a few questions for you to fill out, and then you can clearly identify your language. So as you can see, in building a brand personality, it's almost like you're formulating a human being. You're giving life to your brand, but the most important thing, the most important aspect of your brand personality is really creating emotional cues that your ideal customers can identify with and that they can connect with at a deeper level. You see, more than the products and services that you offer, you want to offer something else that sets you apart. And that something else is your brand personality and the emotions that it sends out, how it connects with its ideal, your ideal clients, and several other factors that they feel that sort of relatability with your brand. They can connect with it. It's all about building connections. Thank you so much for listening. And I hope that this has been a helpful exercise for you on your journey to creating an iconic brand image that you can be proud of, a brand that is ultimately you. No matter what you do, always infuse you into the equation because ultimately you are the one driving this brand and you need to be able to identify with the personality that you've chosen. Thank you so much, and I'll see you in the next module.